You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
If you know the song, sing along. Have really changed since I kissed ya.
I knew the very first part. I should know it. I was there. I think it was 1957.
Hey, let me ask you this. I play this game with Keith from time to time. Eddie the Bobbiter Miller now in the studio. Ladies and gentlemen, James Edwards, the political cesspool, Saturday evening, November 24th. And I've just now got Eddie's mic potted all the way up. Eddie, I do this with Keith from time to time. Was the world better off in the late 50s or better off now?
It was infinitely better in those days.
And those guys, the Everly Brothers, came from your neck of the woods up there in Kentucky.
Yes, they did.
They're Kentucky
yes,
boys.
Yes, they did. They're Kentucky boys. As a matter of fact, I've been right by where they were born. I took my grandson there back in, he was a junior in high school. We went to see my kin folks up in Bloody Breathitt County, Kentucky.
And I don't know if you know this. I've shared the story before on the show, but I don't know if it was Phil or Don Everly, but one of them bought a home in Nashville specifically because Nathan Bedford Forrest rehabilitated there after one of his injuries during the war.
I remember you talking about that.
Said that it was a beautiful story there, that it was very special to him that Forrest recuperated in the home that he now owns.
They were right-thinking Kentucky boys. Right-thinking.
Beautiful music, a beautiful time. It's the America we'd like to restore, by and large. 1950s America, you know, even though we had lost the war, even though we had made the follies of participating in World War I and World War I-B, America in the early 1950s was still a beautiful place, and that was beautiful music. And, of course, that seems like it never happened compared to where we are now. But that happened within your lifetime.
Yes, it did. Matter of fact, I know this may be a rabbit trail, but it's a nice rabbit trail. It's a pappy rabbit trail.
You don't ever go down a rabbit trail, do you, pappy?
What, Lord, no. I was running through University of Memphis campus today. It's a big campus. It's not little old Memphis State College like it used to be. And they have this monument. These monuments are popping up everywhere. It just so happens it's in 1959. Guess what happened in 1959 at the University of Memphis? Of course, in those days, it was Memphis State. The first black students came in out there. They said they had to bring them in under guard. And they had to leave.
In the 50s? That seems a little early.
Yeah, they had to leave under guard and all this crap. And they greatly exaggerated it. There's a plaque like that on their old Bruce School.
You remember that guy at in Ole Miss who desecrated one of those plaques? And I think he's doing, like, life in prison because of it.
Life in, you know, 99 years in the electric chair if they could do it. But, you know, this plaque up there is just and it's just bogus. And I wanted to say, why don't we put a plaque over our South Memphis where my little friend Larry McVeigh got his ribs beaten so bad?
What about the speech you gave at our most recent conference? You slept with a shotgun under your pillow because
sure
you
did.
Had to walk home
in
integrated neighborhoods. And was diversity your greatest strength in those days?
I tell you what, that street was mighty tough there. My pappy, as you well know, I've told James this 100 times.
You're the pappy.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, I'm pappy too.
Pappy, you're pappy now.
Yeah.
It descends.
You know what? Before I die, I got to get you up. I'm going to take you up to Pine Ridge, Kentucky. That's where I was born. I was born up in Pine Ridge, Kentucky. Hey, forget this.
You can't even get me out to go fishing. You know, I got kids now. You know how that is.
You know, we'll have to get one of these knockout drops. We get some of the listeners to send me some knockout drops. We'll get James Edwards, my peppy son boy. We're going to go up to Pine Ridge, Kentucky. Guess what they got the old.
Well, you took Sam. Yeah. I knew it. Sam just came in our headset saying he wanted to go in that direction. Remember when Sam and Kurt wanted you to take him to the primeval forest in Arkansas? Eddie took Sam to primeval forest in Arkansas. Did you know?
Sure as hell did.
Me back. We took him to Indian Mounds too.
And I had my mason fruit jar that day that Sam was so intrigued with.
What about the Indian Mounds?
The Indian Mounds. We were there at the Indian Mounds. Yes, sir. Matter of fact, the first time that I ran away, the first time I ever hopped a freight train run away, we camped out there at the Indian Mounds. That was DeSoto Park. With just a mile or so from the Harahan Bridge, we hopped a freight train and went over. Got caught. Went all the way up to the Missouri. Got caught. We were out of money, starving to death. We were on the way back. We got caught in Kabul, Missouri. I was 11. My accomplice was 10.
Hey, I gotta interrupt you right there. I can't because when Rich Hamblin texts us, you stop talking. Rich,
he complained about the music. No,
now hang on a minute. Rich tells us that, and Rich is one of our greatest friends. Now, is that true or not?
You've got that right.
And he's about to go to South Africa, and we're going to talk about that this hour. He's about to go to South Africa to visit our good friend Simon Roche. Rich says that the Everly brother lived in Columbia, Tennessee, not Nashville. I am mistaken.
Well, that's close enough.
As far as Memphis is concerned, relatively speaking. And Rich writes that his cousin was actually an accountant for one of the Everly brothers. But anyway, that happened in Columbia. I stand corrected. But nevertheless, I appreciate the respect that one of the Everly brothers showed to a true American hero, an All-American, Nathan Bedford Forrest.
Yep, I tell you what. Well, there's a lot of good people in Tennessee and Kentucky. So many of us have been brainwashed nowadays, but and sometimes I get kind of down thinking, our younger people aren't worth a crap. But I've been told.
You've been working on Blood River Radio, everybody, bloodriverradio.com. Eddie now has a show now, I think, in its seventh or eighth week.
Oldest one there by far.
Yeah, but, I mean, Blood River Radio immediately precedes TPC on Liberty News Radio Network, and Eddie's working with a cadre of young folks, including Matt Goodwin and, of course, Jacob Tyler, son of Rick Tyler, who's both good friends of ours. And you've got a good show there growing. And
Thank you.
Just in its second month, so still in its infancy, but you've surrounded yourself with a good team, unique from TPC, but also, of course, very similar and something that our people need to check out. Blood River Radio, bloodriverradio.com, immediately before TPC every Saturday night here on the network.
You know what, folks, we're all in this battle together. What's that Benjamin Franklin said? We'll either hang together or hang separately.
So you did 2 hours of radio on your own show tonight, and then coming in now for the third hour tonight, pulling double duty, double shift.
You know what? But see, James is doing a heavy lifting right now. All I got to do is sit back here, enjoy this ambiance, if I'm saying that right, and see. I hadn't seen James in like 3 weeks.
That's actually what we're going to get into in the next segment. Let me tell you what's coming up on the rest of the hour. We're going to revisit the Cindy Hyde Smith story from Mississippi. So we didn't cover all of that in the first hour because I brought my wife on and we were talking. But when we come back, before we go back to Mississippi, and there was a huge, huge piece by CNN this week on Simon and the Sightlanders. So that we're going to talk about as well. Rich is going over to South Africa in a few days. We're going to talk about that. But before we get to any of that, when we come back immediately after this, we spent the last segment
Southern
Porch Talk, as sometimes happens when yours truly and Eddie the Bombardier Miller join forces here on the radio. Little Porch Talk, little reminiscing about the good old days. When we come back, Eddie just got back. While we haven't seen each other in 3 weeks, I was on vacation last week. The week before that, Eddie was in New York running and completing the New York Marathon. We're going to hear that story when we come back.
Sir, it was glorious.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes. In fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking, If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives Pain Capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march, that is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, we're back. We spent that first segment doing a little porch talk, reminiscing on the Everly Brothers and Nathan Bedford Forrest, one of the greatest Americans, maybe the second greatest American behind Robert E. Lee, as far as I see it. Now, that's a matter of a man's opinion, but I don't know. There's so many good ones. Patrick Claiborne, Jefferson Davis, they all fought for the Confederacy among the greatest Americans. But nevertheless, little porch talk in the first segment, but we got to get. I guess we got to give you a little bit of news this hour. We're going to revisit the story of Cindy Hyde Smith. Now she's in a runoff election in Mississippi this week against a black Democrat. We're going to talk about that a little bit more this hour, Eddie. Now we covered that a little bit in the first hour with Keith Alexander. Eddie is going to have his unique perspective on what's going on and what's being said about Cindy Hyde Smith for her visit to Beauvoir, Jefferson Davis's home, in 2014, and the fact that now just this weekend she's being a pretend bombshell that she attended a segregation academy, as they call it, that's also known as a private school for the rest of us in the world. We'll talk about that with Eddie. We're going to get his take. We got Keith's take on it in the first hour, Eddie's take on it in the third hour. But first, what we want to know, Eddie came into the studio tonight wearing a gold medallion, and I mean that is authentic, solid gold.
You got that right, brother.
But what it is the medal that he got for not only running, but completing and crossing the finish line of the New York Marathon. So last week, I was on vacation with my family. The week before that, Eddie was in New York. So it's actually been 3 weeks' time since Eddie's been here in the studio with me on TPC. But 2 weeks ago tonight, Eddie, you were in New York. You ran, as a man of a certain age, the New York Marathon for the how manyth time, and you finished it, and tell us that whole experience.
It was my fourth time. I ran, you get this.
Give him a round of applause. How old are you, Eddie?
I was 71 years old, folks.
71 years old. And when was your first New York Marathon?
My first New York Marathon was 2014.
So 67, his first marathon. 71, he's run four marathons in the New York Marathon.
Thank you, sir.
From 67 to 71. Ladies and gentlemen, join me now in a round of applause.
Thank you very much. And I came back, you know, and this year, they kind of talked me out of it. 2:14, 15, 16, you know, I doubled back from New York and ran the Memphis Marathon. Memphis St. Jude Marathon will be December 1st. We raised buku and Swanson money. Let me tell you, I gotta get this out. So I'm so proud. The little group that I went to New York with, and thanks to all you people in Political Cesspool who contributed to St. Jude. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you're ever coming to Memphis, you have to go to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. I'll take you out there. We raised over $750,000. Just a little group I went to New York with, St. Jude Heroes. We raised over $3 million for the St. Jude Heroes here in Memphis for the Memphis Marathon. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing on this earth like running the New York Marathon. I don't care if you're a Yankee or Rebel, whatever you are. There's so many good people up there. They spoiled me rotten. My oldest daughter spoiled me beyond rotten. She took me some restaurants. My hair just fell off, dearly. It was so expensive. She told me to shut the hell up about the money. It was payback time. You know, and I kept saying the money. She finally told me she's sick and tired of hearing about the stinking money. It's her money. She's going to spend it. She said, it's payback times that me and her mother work like dogs, send them to private schools. Oh, excuse me, segregation academies. And, you know, we sent them to these segregation academies where they didn't learn anything, but it's put how to hate blacks. But it's just so wonderful. Just me and her.
Hey, wait till we get him in the next segment, folks. We'll really let loose on this.
Hey, my wife.
Topic. Hey, it's going to be I don't know. It's been a good show tonight, but it may be the highlight of the show when we let Eddie loose.
I haven't seen Sunboy so long. It's just like coming home tonight.
It's only been 3 weeks, but I was out of town
like
last week. You were out of town 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And little sweet Danny. She's so precious, man. She spoils me right.
Yeah, Danny's in the studio tonight because we got a babysitter tonight. We're going to go on a date. I still date my wife after 12 years. You still date your wife after...
A bunch. Yeah, I think it's going to. God, I can't. Do you know it's going to be 50? Is it 50 or 51 years? July? No,
Lord,
January.
It's
a long
old.
Time. It's a long time, son. I mean, it's.
It like to cross the marathon finish line as a 71-year-old running his fourth New York Marathon? That doesn't count all of the Nashville Marathons and the Memphis Marathons. He's run a lot of marathons. This man is a superhuman. I mean it. Superhuman.
Thank you. What I'm going to do in Mr. Marine jeans like this, I want to run the Marine Corps.
I can't run to the mailbox.
It takes training. Pappy can train you. I think the Marine Corps is 2 weeks before, 1 or 2 weeks prior to New York. I want to run the Marine Corps. Not to love the Marines so much, but they're good guys. I'm going to have to admit that. You know, anybody who's a friend of Gene Andrews, a friend of mine, and Gene was a Marine, you know.
Your Army, Gene's a Marine, Art is Navy, and
Winston's Navy.
What's the joke?
Winston's Navy. Oh, well, like I tell my, you know, I love my Marine guys, but I joined the Marines, passed all the tests, knocked the IQ test out of the park, but I mean, that was the Marine IQ test.
Here comes the joke.
You know, and I was just getting ready to sign the papers, man, and the Marine recruiting officer came out and said, don't let him, we love him to death, he's knocked the IQ test out, a whole 9 yards, we can't let him in. Because his parents were married.
And I laugh every time. All right. But now, hey, very quickly, because we got to get back to news. We're going to talk about the Southern Baptist versus Cindy Hyde Smith, her visit to – hang on. Let me get the correct pronunciation here from Rich. Rich will correct us on the show. He has no
– Rich is one of these dummy Vanderbilt grads. Rich is a brain, you know.
Rich
– I ain't talking to him because I only got 50 words about vocabulary. He graduated from Vanderbilt, man. Vanderbilt. With a degree
– You pronounce Jefferson Davis's home as – the correct pronunciation is Beauvoir.
I can't –
It's French, so I mean, how are we expected to get it right?
Well, listen, for a guy like Rich, he majored in
Rich
Latin
owns a piece of that.
Greek.
You actually said you wanted to be buried with the
yes,
piece of Jefferson Davis's roof.
Amen to that, brother.
I got so many emails from people all over the world with how they have framed their piece of that roof that was given to them by us through extension from the Jefferson Davis home, which we did some fundraising for many years ago after Katrina. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, a very special price. So we're going to go back to that story with Cindy Hyde Smith running in a runoff election against a black Democrat. Well, Rich, I said I can't run all the way to my mailbox. Rich wants me to tell everyone how far it is to my mailbox. Well, obviously it's 40 miles.
26.2 feet.
No, no, no. 26.3 miles to my mailbox.
26.2 miles in a marathon. How far is it to your mailbox now?
26.4.
But you know what? Patty can have him run the marathon. You give me 22 weeks with some boy, I have the dude run the marathon. I've been to every friggin'.
Well, see, that's not on the Duke fitness plan. See, Duke doesn't focus a lot on running. He focuses a lot on weightlifting.
I'm going to kind of convert him over a little bit. You got to have a mixture of that, you know. But, yeah, convert.
I'm on the Duke plan. So I have built some muscle mass, but I don't know if I could run 26. I run 26.3 to my mailbox, but 26, Sam. All right. Anyway, so we're going to talk about that. Eddie, bottom line, what's it like being a Confederate in New York?
I'll tell you what. I'll have to say this, folks.
And are you a Confederate?
Oh, to the bone. You know,
but you got to New York to run the marathon.
I tell you what. I ran through my – I've never done a shakeout run. I've never believed in it. But this year I did what they call a shakeout run, and I did it in Central Park. And I will have to say this. I was very pleasantly surprised. I have never had a menace problem in New York. I've never had a menace problem in Manhattan. And I will have to say this. I almost hate to – well, I don't almost. I do hate to admit this. You see a lot more race mixing in Memphis, Tennessee, especially down in Guruville where I go. I ride my bicycles, you know, James, 3 days a week through the hood. Down to the river to do the stairs and the Buck Ross training and stuff, run across the Memphis Arkansas Bridge, what they call pedestrian bridge. But I would say for every 20 couples you see downtown, especially on the weekends, every 20 couples, I'm going to say at least five of them are mixed. In New York, I think I saw two the whole time I was there.
I talked about this with Bill Johnson.
They're friendly, too. They're really friendly.
I talked about this with Bill Johnson. Well, that's in Midtown. That's not indicative across the South. Obviously, it's very rare.
Yeah.
Still, even to this day. Bill Johnson said in L.A., four out of five. Four out of five.
Are you kidding me?
A lot of with Hispanics. But you got all those cucked out men out there that don't know how to get a woman. We'll be back. We're going to talk about Cindy Hyde Smith, the Confederacy, Jefferson Davis, Eddie's take on what Keith covered in the first hour.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, so this in our third hour, we've had a little bit of porch talk. We've talked about Eddie running and completing and triumphing at the New York Marathon, even as a 71-year-old young pup. Eddie's got decades left in him. But
I hope so.
Better shape now than you were 10 years ago, right?
I'm telling you.
No doubt about it.
Oh, yes. There was one time I had to take breaks. Get this, honest to God.
He had to take breaks during the radio. He had to go outside and smoke
bleed.
A cigarette.
Bleed. Remember the time I broke up?
I had a heart attack during the show.
I had a bad bleed one night out at Millington. A member of my
when we were at 1380 station, yeah.
Looked like a stuck pig.
I think that snake came through and bit you.
Could have been. But I had to leave the station and go to the VA emergency room, man.
But the show went on. I didn't stop talking to help you.
It was a broadcast from the hospital. Yeah, we sure did.
That goes around, you and Sonny. And anyway, a little bit of porch talk, a little bit of talk about Eddie's marathon. And I think going forward, this has always been sort of our de facto template. Keith and I cover some contemporary issues in the first hour. We have a featured guest the second hour. Now, that's definitely how it went tonight. And then Eddie and I come on, it's sort of like a grab bag. It could be anything. And I think that's a good way to do the show. And I think that'll be our de facto template.
God,
I guess sort
I love
of it has been. And I think it'll be more so in the coming year as we head into our 15th year on the air. But now, as advertised, we don't want to let you down, ladies and gentlemen. Keith and I covered this briefly at the end of the first hour. I want to get Eddie's take on it too. I think it is a race of particular significance to whites. And so we want to cover it a little bit more. So Cindy Hyde Smith, Eddie, is the Republican Senate candidate in Mississippi. And yes, I pronounce it as Mississippi. That's how Southerners pronounce
it. Southern,
we can't go
baby.
Through the whole thing. I was talking to a girl one time in California, and she said it's Mississippi. Have you ever pronounced it as such?
Not my days. Not ever. Hey, let me chop in one thing right here. I was talking to a brother. He's hardcore brother. And he told me he's from Detroit, Michigan. I'll tell you who he is after we go to the break. But he said, rightfully, he's from Detroit. He said, when we talk about Southern way of life, he said, it's a white way of life. He said that they lived in the outskirts of, he was 74 years old. He lived in the suburbs of Detroit. All white people in the school. He said it was no difference there in Detroit in the way it lived in Pontotoc, Mississippi. He said it's a white thing. It's not really a Southern thing. I can identify with some of that, what he's saying. We got brothers all over.
Well, that's true. We have listeners all over the country and all over the world.
Can
I tell you what? I wouldn't trade my Southern patrimony for anything.
Why, hell no. You know, you've heard me say many a day that Southern is a state of mind.
Well, it's
state of the heart.
It's a state of bone and DNA, too. And I am glad to be born a Southerner. And I am glad that my ancestors fought for what was right during Lincoln's War and that we stood up against tyranny and we stood up to defend our race and our people. I am glad of that. Now, there's no doubt that some of our biggest supporters live outside of the South, and they are with us in mind, body, and soul. But at the same time, I wouldn't trade places with anybody. It is the winning of the genetic lottery to be born a Southerner. If you're an American, to be born a Southerner,
I'm glad you said it. I got to chime in one more time.
Very quickly. But we got to get to this race in Mississippi. I mean, we got to get your take on it.
I wouldn't trade being me for anything in the world. And not, I mean, I'm poor as a church mouse. I mean, I don't have
a – But you are a Southerner.
I'm a Southerner. And I, listen.
You came from Jefferson Davis's home state.
You got that right. You know, and James can tell you when I couldn't even walk to the ER at the VA without taking breaks. I've come from a physical wreck to where I can run marathons. I got all these people that love me in St. Jude. I got all these people will love me in the radio. I wouldn't trade nothing. I got James. I mean, what more? What the hell?
You got a medal on your neck right now.
Got a medal on my neck.
At a solid gold, no less.
I mean, I tell you what, I wouldn't trade it for nothing, man.
Okay, listen. What's going on in Mississippi? Cindy Hyde-Smith. Now, she was appointed to fill a vacant slot, and this is her first campaign for reelection. She's running against a black Democrat in this Senate race. Now, there wasn't enough of a vote to declare her the winner outright in November, so they're running in a runoff on November 27th. So there's been a couple of things that have happened this week with regard to that Senate race. Number one was the fact that it has been rediscovered, conveniently so, that in 2014, Cindy Hyde-Smith went to Beauvoir, Jefferson Davis's home, and posed wearing a Confederate soldier's hat and carrying a musket of a Confederate soldier, that this represented this being Jefferson Davis, Jefferson Davis's home, the Confederate soldier, represented Mississippi history at its finest. Now,
Yes, it did. No doubt about it.
Now, the Southern Baptist Convention, some of its leaders said no. I'm reading directly from their statement. No, Cindy Hyde-Smith. Jefferson Davis, the Confederacy, and what it represented was Mississippi history at its bloody, absolute, evil worst. You have to know this. You have to understand what happened. It was all about slavery, says the Southern Baptist Convention, who, of course, was originally founded by future Confederates who didn't think that you shouldn't be able to restrict missionary ship to slave owners. And that was how the Southern Baptist Church was founded. And the Southern Baptist Church was also key in the creation of all these segregation academies. But he brings up the slave issue. Slavery doesn't exist in the Americas. It doesn't exist in Europe. It does exist, heavily so, even in the current day and age, in Africa. And I haven't heard one Southern Baptist preacher or fake apostate say anything about slavery that still exists today. They don't mention it at all. But they still complain and virtue signal about the slavery that existed long before they were born. But I will tell you this, Cindy Hyde-Smith is right. The Jefferson Davis era, the Confederate era of Mississippi, represented Mississippi and the Southern America at its absolute best. And her stock skyrocketed with me. Good for you, dear lady. You aren't ashamed of your ancestors, and you hold natural and healthy beliefs that the vast majority of your base shares. 80%, highest in the nation, Eddie. 80% of whites in Mississippi vote GOP. They haven't elected a black to be a United States senator since Reconstruction. She's going to win re-election next week because she didn't cuck.
She didn't. I can't wait to get a hold of this. You know what? Let me address the Southern Baptist cuck cowards. You people in the Southern Baptist Convention, what have you ever defended? Have you ever soldiered? Have you ever picked up a rifle? Have you ever gone through a rice paddy? Have you ever gone through the Central Highlands of Vietnam or Korea?
Have you?
Amen.
Have you? Tell us now.
Yes. And have you ever soldiered a rifle with no boots, no shoes, with 2 feet of snow like our Confederate soldiers? Our Confederate soldiers went in to battle. Getting close to the end of the war, they knew it was a lost cause. But you know what? They didn't trade out. They didn't go to the north. They didn't give up. They fought for their homeland. As one Christian Confederate soldier said, and we talked about this in the cesspool some years ago during Confederate History Week, they asked, he was captured, and the Union soldiers asked him, why are you fighting us so hard? Why are you fighting against all odds? He said, because you're here. You're in our homes. You're in our hearth. You're raping our women. You're eating out our substance. You're trying to destroy our homeland, our country. We're fighting for our very lives. We're fighting for our homes. These guys soldiered. They picked up a rifle against all odds. They had no shoes, no beans, no bullets, no Band-Aids. The North had endless amounts of substances. They fought with incredible bravery. I got drafted. I'll say that. People tell me, thank you for your services. And don't thank me. Thank the draft board and thank Leavenworth Federal friggin' Penitentiary and thank Goldman Sachs.
Would you have fought voluntarily for the Confederate States of America?
I most certainly would. I would today. You know, I'll tell you what, but I got drafted in that stinking Goldman Sachs war back in, yeah, well, anyway, you know what, people? These people, they're so brave. They fought for a true cause. They fought for what they believe. They fought for their Christianity, their faith. I would like to tell you that Stonewall Jackson.
Is there a member of the Southern Baptist Church today that could hold a candle to Stonewall
Jackson? Not one.
In terms of his faith.
Stinking cowards. A bunch of stinking cowards. A bunch of marshmallow cowards. Pale-faced marshmallowy cowards. You just cucked out. I'm telling you what. I spit on you. We did tonight. I wish. You know what? I might just go to church tomorrow and just spit on you. And I dare you to do anything. I might even ask your wife for a date right in front of you. And yeah, I guarantee you wouldn't do anything.
If you put yourself in blackface.
You're such a coward. You're such a coward, man. You know what? You've cucked out. You've taken the money. You've taken 30 pieces of silver. You sold out your very ancestors. You don't even deserve it. You don't even deserve to be in the South. I say get the hell out of this country right here. Go to some other place, man. Because we don't need you. We don't want you. You wouldn't know honor for anything, you know. I'll tell you what, these guys and this lady here. And you know, and let me tell you about segregation.
You're talking about a United States senator who, as recently as just a couple of years ago, said Jefferson Davis and what he stood for represented Mississippi's history at its finest.
It sure
that is exactly somebody.
They're fighting
that
against
we
invaders.
Need to
They're
elect.
Fighting against invaders.
And by the way, she has voted with Trump more than any other United States senator.
Yes, we got to continue this one. Come back.
We got Jack Ryan.
Well, let's napalm the SBC some more with Jack Ryan.
Okay.
Stand those
we'll see
marshmallow
what
cucks.
We'll be right back.
I think I'm gonna go to the church tomorrow.
Go to Bellevue tomorrow.
I think I will.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Well, there was, I'll tell you what, Yummy, 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 which was my song for Thanksgiving, pales in comparison to that which Jack Ryan has brought to the show tonight. A true Thanksgiving offering. Jack, tell us what song that was and why you recommended it this evening.
Okay, well, that was the hymn I Vow to Be My Country by the very talented and very beautiful English-Welsh singer Catherine Jenkins. Very classy lady, but a babe. And so I thought it was patriotic, hymn. But I think it had made some change because we can't really bow to our countries because the English speaking countries that were once ours are no longer ours. So you can't be disloyal to this country in England or Australia or Canada, the United States. So we wanted to change it to I bow to thee, my people. But the concept is good. We want to be thankful and we want to be loyal to our people. And highly recommend the music of Catherine Jenkins.
A great song for Thanksgiving and beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Great recommendation from Jack Ryan tonight. But that's not the only recommendation he has. He has, as he so often does, this Thanksgiving weekend. By the way, before we transition from Thanksgiving entirely, and we do, of course, hope everybody had a wonderful and joyous and great Thanksgiving with their friends and family and loved ones, if you go back to thepoliticalcesspool.org, we're not going to read it tonight as we have done in the past, but if you go to the blog entry for Thursday, which was, of course, Thanksgiving, you can read George Washington's original Thanksgiving proclamation. That is something that everyone should have read with their family on Thanksgiving. And if you haven't done it yet, you could still do it now. It's still Thanksgiving weekend. Thepoliticalcesspool.org, read George Washington's Thanksgiving proclamation. But, Jack, in addition to the song, you have book and movie recommendations, no doubt, tonight.
Okay, so my movie recommendation is the movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It's starring Steve Martin and John Candy, and it's directed by John Hughes.
I love that movie. God almighty, that's one of the best movies I've ever seen, Jack. Excuse me for chiming in, but that's one of the finest movies I've ever seen. God almighty, I love that movie.
That's back when comedians were actually funny and Gentiles and... Indeed.
Yeah, they did. I think it's John Candy's best work, and the director is John Hughes. So we lament about the fact that Hollywood is dominated by this Ashkenazi mafia, but there are some Midwesterns that somehow managed to sneak through and come in.
John Hughes, of course, known for Home Alone, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He always had a movie with a touching family-friendly message, and it generally dealt with children and fathers or some variation thereof.
And he just doesn't have that Talmudic hatred of our people and our holidays and things. It does have a Thanksgiving theme that there are two individuals that are trying to get home to Chicago for Thanksgiving. There's not really very many movies that have...
You can relate to that, right?
Brothers. Yeah, no, they're there, and the movie is just great. So I think there's like a, you don't want to overplay it, but I like to have like a Thanksgiving movie, a Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life, or Miracle on 31st Street. But I think that Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is the best Thanksgiving themed movie. So that's my recommendation for this week.
I talked to Jack a little bit before the show started tonight. I called Jack off the air, and we had a great conversation just minutes before the show went live tonight. And Jack and I had a great conversation, and we remarked on the fact that this is, in fact, Jack's one-year anniversary with the show. He has now been with us a full year. He was, of course, with us at our anniversary conference last October, and then even in 2014 for our 10-year anniversary. But Jack, as an official member of the staff, he has now celebrated his full 1 year on the air, and that is being celebrated this weekend as well, along with Thanksgiving. And we appreciate, Jack, all you've added to
the
show.
Thank you.
As our cultural correspondent over the course of the last year, and we've got big plans in store for the days, weeks, months, and years to come, if all goes according to plan.
Hope so.
And we look forward to you being a continued part of our family here at TPC. So always bringing us the book, movie, and music recommendations. Jack, do we have a theme for tonight?
I want to give my book recommendation first. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Take it away.
This is a book that I actually haven't read in its entirety. I've read comments about it, but it's called The Benedict Option by Rod Dreher, who's one of the main writers left at Pat Buchanan's magazine, The American Conservative. And so the theme of The Benedict Option is that traditional conservatives are not going to reclaim the culture of the country, the United States, and they need to retreat into a Benedictian mold. The last Catholic pope before this current communist liberation theology, pro-Muslim, terrible one, was a pretty good pope. I think it was quite good. And the idea was to create institutions to protect your culture and sort of withdraw and survive this fallen dark age, like at the end of Rome. And it's something to consider because we were so excited about the election of Donald Trump. We were going to take back the country, control immigration, and stop these wars. And we're now the deep state is just hit in, and we're being persecuted and losing our rights to even First Amendment rights. And so the option of this idea is to withdraw and set up our own private institutions and kind of survive this dark age. And so that's the kind of idea behind it.
Jack, two questions. Number one, how does Trump rate on your report card? Number two, second question is, how can we take back? How can traditional conservatives take back America? And is it possible? Two-part question.
You can't take back all of America. You can't take back Baltimore or just Hollywood. If some movie or something comes through, it's impossible. Our country has a population of 300 million people now. We have a population that's more similar to Brazil or India than we did to the country of 100 years ago or the 1950s. It's just impossible to take that back. And we don't control a single Hollywood studio or a news organization. The last non-Ashkenazi J person that had a news television was Ted Turner when he ran CNN. And he wasn't a conservative, he wasn't a Christian, but he was a Southerner. He didn't hate his people. And then when he sold out and merged with Time Warner Communication, Gerald Levin, he basically took the 30 pieces of silver. And so we've been dispossessed. So we do not have a stake there. And we've been dispossessed in our universities, our institutions that were once ours. And that's the way it is. And we're nothing nice. There's no way we're going to be able to take back the whole country. So, we got to make separatists. You got to figure out how to minority people, Christians in Lebanon, how do they operate? How do the Amish operate or something like that? But, yeah, my view is there's no way we can take back the entire country, university.
Well, what I want to know, Jack, is we won't call you a Yankee because I know you take offense to that.
Me.
And rightly so. You are a Midwesterner. You are a Midwest correspondent.
But I went to the South, but, and I live in the South.
You do have Southern roots. How did you celebrate Thanksgiving in Chicago? What was that like on Thursday?
Chicago. Similar places that Steve Martin was trying to get back to. I have family in the Chicago suburbs, and I've got uncles and cousins and brothers and nieces and nephews. There's a healthy, good-looking people. We don't have any sexual degenerates or communists or anything that. But they're good people, and there's kids coming in. But, incredible conservatives is basically what I've described. I don't talk about politics with them because they're trying to be successful in this world. And some of them are very successful, including the leader of my family. He's very, very successful, extremely wealthy. He's got a huge suburban house. He's got a Florida retreat, a place in the country in Wisconsin and downtown. But he has to toe the line. He's got to go along with these other groups. And he would rather be caught with child homosexual porn than go against something of the Israeli lobby or say something about immigration or things like that. And so we got conservatives. That's basically what it is. So we don't talk about politics. We play touch football. We do board games. And we watch decent movies. So it's not that bad, but you know, I got to walk on eggshells, basically. So that's what I got to do.
I got to say, before
report card with Trump. Report card with Trump.
You give us a very quick grade, A plus, F minus.
For
real quick.
Trump.
Yeah. I didn't interrupt too much.
That's fine.
I'd say, I don't know, C plus, B minus. It's tough to take on the entire world or change history. And his instincts are good. We are both veterans, he and I, Donald Trump, of New York City of the late 80s, early 90s.
Hey, we're out of time, Jack. We're out of time. I want to tell you, there was a story we meant to get to tonight. CNN has done a huge exam on Simon Roche and the Sightlanders. We're going to get to that next week. We meant to get to it tonight. Too much monkey shines with Eddie. That happens sometimes. But we want to thank you, Jack, for your contribution this evening. We will pick it up next week. And by the way, Rich is going to South Africa to meet with Simon in a few days.
God, I wish I could go.
And we'll talk about all of that. Stay tuned in December. It's going to be a great show.
We love you, people.
Good night, Jack. Good night, everybody.
Good
thank
luck.
You. I'm James. He's
Happy
Eddie. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. Happy Thanksgiving weekend to you, Jack. Talk to you next week. Good night. God bless.